Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Samach Dalet, and we are on Samach Gimel Amid Beis. Just finished the sugyas of Biris and Etzada and other related issues. What is a Biris and what is on one leg, what is on two legs, the Kfalim, and we are now related issues talking about Tachshitim and different types of ornaments. The first half of today's daf is all about Tumah V'Tahara, different types of materials, right? It's going to hearken us back to Gemaras we had for Tublat earlier in the Masechta. Similar discussions about different types of materials, making up different types of kelim. Okay, so Kiyasa, we're at about 15 lines up from the bottom on Samach Gimel Amid Beis. Kiyasa Rev Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan Minayim La'ari Kol Shehu Tameh. How do I know that a woven garment that is a tiny garment, Kol Shehu, a tiny little woven garment, how do I know that's Tameh? Mitzitz, you know it from the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, right, that he wore on his forehead. Oh, right, that was pretty small, and yet it had the status of a kli, status of one of the Shmona Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, one of the four special ones the Kohen Gadol wore, and we know it had it was makabel tumah lechora because it was the status of a baguette. So too any type of arik, says the Gemara. Amalei Abaye, it sits arigu. What do you mean? The tzitz is woven? Where's it woven? Vatanya the Brisa says, describing the tzitz kemintas shel zahav. It was a gold-plated item. Verochav shtei etzvos, two finger breadths width. Umukaf meozen lozen. It went from ear to ear. Vekasuv alav bebeishitin, and it was written on it in two rows. Yud hey lamala, yud and a hey above, meaning Hashem's name. Vekodesh lamid lamata, and kodesh li under, kodesh lo on the bottom, kodesh l'Hashem, it said on it, but it didn't say it in one straight row. Kodesh lo on the bottom, because you can't have anything above Hashem's name. So you had kodesh lo on the bottom row and Hashem on the top row. But either way, it was made of a golden plate. It wasn't woven of materials. V'yamar Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi, ani re'isa b'ir Romi, and Rabbi Yossi said, I saw it. I saw that it sits in Rome. What's it doing in Rome, right, when they took all the kelim after Churban Bayis? So he says, I was in Rome and I saw the tzitz. Because it doesn't say there that he saw the many others. It talks about the verse on the side. The story is told, Rashi quotes it, Mi'ilah Daf Tezvav. That's what the story is, where he helped get a shade out of the emperor, out of the daughter of the emperor's head, ear. So he said, okay, go into my treasure house and take whatever you want. That's when he went in and saw all of the kelim. He saw the paroches. The Gemara in Me'ilah discusses that there, if you remember from a year and a half ago or so, that he saw blood on the paroches. It was machlokas whether when you sprinkle the blood on Yom Kippur, is it towards the paroches? Is it on the paroches? And we discussed then, how did he know that it was from the Yom Kippur blood? Maybe it was from when Titus speared the paroches and blood started shooting out. Maybe it was from that experience. Yeah, but that's the story that's being referred to here. So Blazer Rabbi Yossi says, I saw it. Ani re'isa b'yaromi v'kasuv kodesh l'shem b'shita achas. And it was in one row. Wasn't on two rows. Okay, major interesting machlokas and mitzius. Exactly what it was. So that's the question. How could you bring a raya from tzitz that all anything that is woven is tameh? It's not woven. So kisalag Ravdimi l'Naharda, when Ravdimi went to Naharda, shalach lahu dvarim shamarti lachem toas em biyadi. You're right, I made a mistake. The source is not from tzitz. Baram kach amru mishum Rav Yochanan. This is what I heard in the name of Rav Yochanan. Minayin l'tachshit kol shehu shehu tameh. How do you know a tachshit, a piece of jewelry, an ornament, a tiny ornament, kol shehu, is tameh mitzitz. That's what you know from the tzitz, because the tzitz is an ornament. Uminayin la'arig kol shehu shehu tameh. And how do you know anything woven, no matter the size, is tameh? Me'o beged. From an extra word, extra phrase in the Torah, in the context of Tumah Shratzim, O Beged, that is what teaches me anything that is Arik. Good. There's another Machlokas, we just said in the Machlokas Tanoim, historical Machlokas, what the tzitz look like. So there's also Machlokas Rishonim, what the tzitz look like. If you look in Rashi says right here, Yud Hei Milamala, Kodesh Lama Ilamata, Klomar, Hashem Shalem Beshita Elyona, the name of Hashem is on the upper level, V'Kodesh Lamed Beshita Dachtona, Right, and that's underneath. Shalola hakdim shar osios lamala min Hashem, because you want to put the other letters above, in front of it, above it. Meyachas shnei shitim hayu. Right, that is the Rashi. What it sounds like from Rashi, and this is how Tosfos understands Rashi, that the words were right one on top of the other one. You had Hashem, and then right under that is Kodesh lit, one on top of the other. Tosfos doesn't like that, because Tosfos says then that's not readable. Right, it just, you read it, Hashem, Kodesh Lit, right, it's not readable. So Tosfos is bothered, and therefore Tosfos says that, no, Kodesh Lit was early, was at the beginning of the second line, and Hashem was at the end of the top line. So it was kind of readable, Kodesh Lashem. That's what Tosfos says in Tosfos V'Kasuv, V'Nir L'Rabbeinu Tam, She'e Kasuv Yud Hei, B'Sov Shita Achrona, Rishona, the kodesh lit betchila shita shnia v'hashda nikra yafe v'ein lefarish k'mash rodim kein eno nikra kilchaso. And don't say it's like just one on top of the other, because that it's not readable. Says the Ritva, like defending Rashi. So what that it's not readable? Okay, so it's not a book. You're not supposed to. It's not the Torah. It's not like you need it readable. So it's not readable. It's not nikra. Kodesh Baruch Hu said you have to have Kodesh Lashem on the tzitz, part of the structure of this item, and that's it. So you write it on it. However, you're supposed to write it. It doesn't have to be readable, says the Ritva. Or another idea, the Rishash. The Rishash, not here, but in Sukkah. Sukkah Daf Hei, where this Gemara also comes up, the Rishash says, fascinating idea, that maybe the tzitz is a hemshech of the Choshen. The Choshen, as we know, had the Shiftei Ka on it, had the names of the Shvatim, along with Shiftei Yeshurun, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov is Shiftei Yeshurun. On the Choshen, on the 12 stones, you had the names of the Shvatim split up. And above that, because not all of the letters were taken care of, you need all the Aleph-Bays on the Choshen. And because the Shvatim, there are some letters that are not in the Shvatim's names, like a Tess or a Tzadi, right? Some of them are not there. So that's why you also need, besides the Shvatim, above them you had Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Shiftei, Yeshurun. So Shiftei takes care of the Tess, Yitzchak takes care of the Tzadi, a couple of letters are not there. But the Rishash suggests that when you read the Begadim, so to speak, you go bottom up. You start with a Choshen, and all of these Shvatim, Shiftei Yeshurun, are Kodesh Lashem. So you read it from the bottom up. So it is readable. Well, Hashem Kodesh Lit makes no sense. But if you read it from the bottom up, and it can be one on top of the other one, that's fine. That's how it's read, and that's the Rishash's suggestion also to defend Rashi. So we have the Ritva, it doesn't have to be readable. Or the Rishash, it is readable, but you read it with the Choshen, and therefore it goes up with Kodesh Lashem.
How come two shuras is not totally rejected?
Yeah. I'm sorry? Why isn't it rejected? Because that's what he saw? So, you have to say, did he get to... the Gemara sometimes has that, where there's the one opinion says, well, the ice, there's a Metzius. So they would argue, and what would they say? Okay, wait till you show it to me. What do you say? Or maybe it was a different one, or maybe it's a question. It's a question, why did they just reject it based on that? But we don't paskin that it's all one line. The Rambam says, you paskin two lines. Right? The Rambam also knew this line. Right? You paskin two lines. Right? That's how would they answer the question of, you actually saw it? I guess it would be a simple answer of Loba Shemayimi. It's not really Loba Shemayimi in that kind of sense, but this is the oneness that we figured out based on the sources. Don't bring me rayas from what you saw. Okay, if it comes up, then I'll have to figure it out. But it is an interesting ha'ara. Okay, let's continue. Tanu Rabbanan, a couple lines up from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, Arig Kolshu. So now we're summarizing and continuing. This Tumetara and Begadim line take us through, almost through the first Amud of today's daf. Tanu Rabbanan, Arig Kolshu Tameh, a tiny woven beged is Makabal Tumah. V'tachshit Kolshu Tameh, a tachshit. Right, that's what we're talking about this in this parak. This parak is all about tachshitin. Man, woman, right, we just spoke about weapons in the Mishnah. Is that a tachshit? Machlokas. Tachshit Kolshu Tameh. So a tachshit, a little tachshit is Tameh. Arig V'tachshit Kolshu Tameh. What is an Arig and a tachshit Kolshu? So it's made of, it's a little woven and it's a little tachshit, not woven. Kol shehu tameh. Tosfos says, it can't really mean a kol shehu here, because if it's a kol shehu, it can be made of two different things. So it's not so tiny. So Tosfos says, okay, a little more than a kol shehu. A little bit more than a kol shehu. Tameh. The Pnei Yoshua would rather not say that. He says, Tosfos is a little dachuk. To say it's a, I would say kalshu means literally kalshu. He says maybe it's kalshu. Each part is a kalshu, but they function only with each other. Similar to like you have a, like the tzitz. What were the tzitz? The tzitz was golden, and it had tchelas thread in the holes of the tzitz to wrap it around the back of the head of the kohen gadol. So maybe that's what is being described here in Aragat Tashik, where they're both tiny amount, they're both kalshu, but they only function when they are together. If they weren't together, they wouldn't be. Wouldn't be functional. So argument Tasha Koshu Tami, that is also Mikabel Tuma. Musaf Sak Al Habeged Shatami Mishum Arig. If somebody has sock and beged put together, a beged is various materials. Sock is specifically, and we'll see this on the next Amud, sock is specifically a material made of goat's hair. It's a common material that was used to make begadim. So that's sock. Sock, so musaf sock ala beged. So if you have sock on a beged, shatami mishum arig. Sock is more, there are more cases of sock being makabel tuma than beged, because it's tami mishum arig. We don't know what that means yet. The Gemara Beis Hashem will describe it. Because after all, you can have arig in both of the materials. So we'll see. So let's talk about each one of these now. All, each four, each of the four lines. Amar Rava, arig kol shehu tame. How do you know a tiny little woven material is makabel tuma? Me, oh beged. You know it from Obeged, as we just said before. Tashi calls you Tamei Mitzitz. You know that from the Tzitz. Oh, just by the way, where does the Tzitz come up in Hilchos Arachayim? Where does it mention the Tzitz mentioned Arachayim? So we like to mention the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillin, we have to focus on our Tefillin all the time that we're wearing it. Kalvachomer Mitzitz. If a Kalvachomer, which only has one Shem Hashem on it, the Kohen Gadol is never allowed to lose focus and concentration on the tzitz as long as he wears it. So surely our tefillin, which have many, many shemos of Hashem in the tefillin, surely we're not allowed to have a hesach hadas. And just to put it in reality terms, I've quoted before that Seir of Soloveitchik used to say that if you walk into a room and on the floor you see the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol and your tefillin, you pick up your tefillin first. Even though you see the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, you pick up your tefillin first. Our tefillin have more kedusha than the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. We just don't always appreciate that. But that's what we have to realize. It's more of a teshmishay kedusha. Good. But a third halacha. Arig v'tachshe koshu tamei, mikol kli ma'aseh. Arig v'tachshe together, tamei. You know that from the extra limud of kol kli ma'aseh, which is written by Midyan. Any kli ma'aseh that comes, they had to be metayer it. You remember that when they took all the kalim from Midian, there was a rabbi that said to Rava, "How be Midian ksiv? How could you bring that makar from Midian to learn for general Kabbalah's tuma? By Midian, the context it was tumas meis, which is the most chamur tuma. Maybe there we even include this item, but by more lenient context." Not by Kabbalah's Tumah, like by Tumah Sheretz, which we're trying to learn, so maybe this wouldn't be Mekabel Tumah. Maybe it's only by Midyan. Remember that we learn Halacha, Parshas Matos. From Midyan we learn, even though the Pesukim talk about Tumah Vatara, we learn about being Matahar things. We also learn about Tevila. According to the Rishonim that say it's Daraisa, we hold, we learn from Pesukim by Midian, all the Kalim that we retrieved after being in battle with them. So the Brother Rabbanan here in our context are talking about the Tumah and Tara elements. How can you learn a source from Midian? That's the most Chomor Tumah. Maybe only there it's Makabel Tumah, but not by other Tumas. Answer, Amale, Gomar Kli Kli Mehasam. You're right. It's not just a Lima, but it's a Xerishava. Xerishava. So Xerishavas, we know, are, you know, Misora. We have Misora of Xerishava. You can't learn Xerishava by yourself. So Xerishava is powerful enough to compare two contexts, even though they are not exactly the same. Good. That is number three source that you learn out from something that is Arig and Tachshit. Number four, Musav Sak ala Beged Shatami Mishum Arig. Sak, a garment made out of goat's hair, is more, there are more cases that it's Makabel Tumah than Beged, than begadim made out of other materials, because it's Tami Mishum Arig. Ask the Gemara, Atu Beged Lav Arigu? I don't understand. Beged could also be woven. Right? So Sak and Arig are both woven. What do you mean? Only Sak can be Mitami as an Arig and not a Beged? So Hachikam, I know this is what we meant. Musav Sak ala Beged. Af al pi she'eino arig tameh. No, sock, which is made out of goat's hair, is tameh even if it is not woven together. It's still tameh. You just take a couple of goat's hairs and tie them together or braid them together. You don't really weave it together with a loom. That's also enough because people do that. And that's called normal. So that's called arig, even though it's not normally arig. Lumaicha, even though it's not called, it's not the definition of arig for other begadim. Lumaichazi. So what's it roi for? Who just puts a couple of goat's hairs together and ties them up? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shekein ani kolea shalosh nimin v'tolea b'tzavar bito." An ani who cannot afford to buy a golden necklace for their little daughter, for their girl, for Chanukah, right? So what do? They tie a couple of goat's hairs together and they tie that around their daughter's neck. That's their jewelry. That's their necklace. So that is the fourth halacha, that sock can be makabel tumah even if it's not woven together, if it's just tied together a little bit, if it's just braided together. Period. Tan Rabbanon. So now, expanding on these materials, let's just do some of this and then we'll talk about tumah tahor in general. Tan Rabbanon, sock. Ein li ela sock. I only know that sock is makabel tumah. Again, sock means, Rashi says on top, third line, shu asui mi notza shalizim. It's made from goat's hair. I only know that goat's hair materials are makabel tumah, minayin l'rabos, es ha-kilkaliv, es ha-chabak. How do I know to include kilkali and chabak? We had these earlier, back in the fifth parak, in Bamei Behema. These are items that go on the animal. Rashi says, a masrich shalasus, it's the straps that go, that hold the saddle onto the horse, or it goes onto the stomach of the horse, all different types of straps, and those are also made of goat's hair. How do I know those are also makabel tumah? Tamalomar, osak. Not only items used by a person, but osak also included. Ask the Ritva, didn't we learn before that the line the Gemara said, ein tachshit lebehema? If something is usable for a person, it's makabel tumah. But if it's for an animal, it's not makabel tumah. So why here is it makabel tumah? Right, what, just based on the limud? Doesn't fit into any of the rules? So the Ritva says, well, two deis. Maybe a saddle or the rope that holds the saddle, that can be nechshav, uses for a person. That's not just for an animal. It's not just putting a blanket on an animal because the animal's cold. That's uses of a person. When we look at a saddle on an animal, so is that considered a person's kli or an animal's kli? Lamdus. It's both. But how do we look? Is it protecting more of the animal or is it the person? So the Ritva says, maybe here, that's good enough. It's looked at a person's. Or do we say, no, there's a difference between a tachshit of an animal for noi and a kli that's used to help the animal function? A saddle or the rope, that's not noi. That's function. So even functionality, a kli with functionality for an animal, that will be makabel tumah. The only Gemara earlier that said non-makabel tumah is tachshit, something that's used to beautify the animal. That's not going to be makabel tumah. Good, two important days for our discussion. Yochol, so he included these other items made from goat's hair. I might think that I also include these other types of ropes that are just strands that are twisted together. Tamalo mar sock. No, it's got to be sock. My sock tavui varig. Just like sock is threads and woven together. Av kol tavui varig. So too, anything that is tavui varig, unlike these ropes. So this was all about Tumas Sheretz. Now we get into the more chamer tumah of tumas meis. Hare you omer b'meis v'chol kli or v'chol masi izim v'chulu tischatau l'rabos ha-kilkli v'sachabak. So this includes the kilkli and chabak for tumas meis. Yochol shani mar v'sachavola v'samashchit v'mashichos. I might think they include these other ropes that were not included by tumas sheretz. I might include them by tumas meis. But the Gemara says, well, minute v'dinu. You should exclude them based on the following svara. Timei b'sheretz v'timei b'meis. Ma kashe timei b'sheretz lo timei ela tavui v'arig. Just like by tumas sheretz, we said in the first half of the brisa, it's not included. Af kashe timei b'meis lo timei ela tavui v'arig. So you don't need a pasuk to exclude them. Isn't it excluded misvara? So the Gemara says, hein, is that really true? No. Maybe don't compare tumas sheretz and tumas meis. Im heikel b'tamei sheretz shehi kala tumas sheretz, which if you remember is that one of the eight shrutzim that are mentioned in Parsha Shmini, when they die, so then, when they are recently dead, then they are mitame. So, if by tumas sheretz, which is kal, we are meikel and we exclude them. Nakil b'tumas hameis shehi chamura, tumas meis is more chamur. Right? It's tummy for 7 days. So, who says it should be excluded? That's why you need a pasuk to exclude it. Tamalomar, beged va'or, l'gzeir shava. We have l'gzeir shava. Nemar beged va'or b'sheretz, v'nemar beged va'or b'meis. Ma beged va'or hamor b'sheretz, lo time ela tavui va'arig. Only if it's made into threads. Tave. Right, it's one of the Lamatas Malachas. Va'arigan is woven. So, we have Xerah Shavat to exclude these types of ropes where you just have strands roped together. Stop there for a minute. Just remember, we spoke about Tumas Shratzim a number of times in the past. One of the fascinating questions that is asked by the Rishonim is, why a Nachash is not one of the eight Shratzim? You would think a snake is the most dangerous, the most tummy animal, the source of it all. So he mentioned for Rabbeinu Bachai says, Derecheha Darchei Noam. Because after all, if the snake is tamei, somebody might think twice before they take care of a snake. Before they get rid of a snake. The Torah doesn't want you to have any hesitations in getting rid of the snake, so the Torah is not matami it. Because people are very scared about Tumah Tahara. Right? Even more so than even Sakar Safashos, possibly. So that's why the Rabbeinu Bachai says, Derecheha Darchei Noam, Hashem cares about your life. And the system of the Torah is beautiful. That goes on the list of the Derecheha Darchei Noam halachas. Good. Continuing, last skinny line. Uma beged va'or ha'amr b'meis. Once we have the gzeira shava, let's go the other way. Meged va'or that talks about by meis. Tamei kol meis ha'izim. Any type of goat's hair item is tamei. Af beged va'or ha'amr b'sheretz. Tamei kol meis ha'izim. So too what is said by sheretz, everything is included. What does that mean? As follows. Eli elo davar haba mina izim. This is only goat's hair. Minayin l'rabos davar haba mizanav hazos mizanav hapara. What about similar hair? It comes from a tail of a horse or a cow that was also used for items. Tamalomar osak. That includes it. Ivah fictila kilkli v'chabak. Well, we already used that up top. We already use that to include kilkali and chabak, those types of ropes that go around the animal to hold the saddle, to hold everything. So hanimili mekami delesi xerishava. You only needed that pasik before you had the xerishava that we just had between mace and sheretz. Hashta daasi xerishava aiterlei. But now that we have the xerishava is the strongest of limudim, of all of the drushes, the tools that Chazal have to darshan, and that's why it can include this halachas, that's why the beged is included in osak, I'm sorry, is open to teach me this last halacha of horse hair and cow hair from their tail. Good, stop there for a minute. Gzeira Shava, as we said, is the strongest of the limudim. Just to review, again, we mentioned it a little while ago, but to review it inside. Again, it's only that we have the godless of Dafyomi, as we always say, is the chazara and the every couple of weeks, even if we could review something, so it's sealed in our brain. The Rambam says that there are 5 parts of Torah Shebaal Peh. 5 parts. We're talking on our daf about a number of those parts, as we'll see in a second. What are the 5 parts of Torah Shebaal Peh? It's the Rambam in the Hakdamat Tibir Shemishnayis. The first 3 are d'oraisa, and the last 2 are d'rabanan. But they're all Torah Shebaal Peh. They're all Torah Shebaal Peh. And that is what Moshe Rabbeinu received all of this. Even, right, the Gemara says, whatever every Talmud Vasik was going to be, Mechadesh, in the future, Moshe Rabbeinu received it on our Sinai. Right, somebody, the Gemara says, Mesechas Erevin, that on Daf Nun Dalet or so, that by the Mesorah, Moshe Rabbeinu received it from Hashem, and then he taught it to Aaron, then Aaron went to the side. Then Moshe taught it to Aaron's children, then the children went to the side. Then Moshe taught it to the Zakenim, and then they went. And then he taught it to all of Klal Yisrael. And then Moshe left, and then Aaron started teaching it. Then Aaron left, and then everybody got it 4 times. Everybody got it 4 times. So one of my Talmidim asked me the math recently, how long did it take for each of them to teach the Torah? How long? How long did it take Moshe to learn it? Right, so Moshe took him 40 days. 40 days and 40 nights. So wouldn't it have taken everybody else longer? L'chora, Moshe must have been pretty smart. There wasn't a game of telephone. He heard it straight from God. Right, so he heard it from Hashem, and then he's teaching it to everybody else. How long, it's interesting to figure out how long this whole Shalshalas HaMasorah took, and did it take place? It must have taken place after that Yom Kippur. Right, they came down with a second Luchos. There was no time in between for him to teach everybody else. So that's why it must have happened afterwards, after the first Sukkot, and after, so it's interesting, but that was the Mesorah, how long it took to teach the Torah Shebaal Peh. Interesting question. Anyway, so we get back to the 5 parts of Torah Sheval Peh. The first type, says the Rambam, Achelik Arishon, Pirushim Kubalim Ipi Moshe. Pirushim that are passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu that have hints in the Torah. V'yeshlem remez bakatuf. It's not explicit hints. We might not have figured it out, but it's hinted to in the Torah. For example, Priyetz Hadar. What's a Priyetz Hadar? It's an Esrog. That's not a halach l'moshe misinai. It doesn't say that anywhere. But we know it's a Priyetz. We know it's a beautiful. What's a beautiful fruit? So an Esrog is a beautiful fruit. The Gemara in Sukkah talks about maybe it's a quince, maybe it's a this, maybe it's a that. But l'maisa, nobody's ever said that you should shake a different fruit other than an Esrog. So that is called an example of a Pirush HaMekubal Mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. Or Ayin Tach HaZayin. Or Ayin Tach HaZayin. So if you would have given us 100 years, maybe we would have figured it out. That is based on Kesef. Okay, that is number one. Number two is what we call Halacha Moshe Misinai. The difference between category one and two is that Halacha Moshe Misinai, there is no hint in the Torah. If I give you 1,000,000 years, you would not have been able to figure this out. Shi'urin chatzitzin emachitzin. Right? The concept of chatzitza. Right? Would I figure that out reading the Torah? Or all the shi'urim. Kezayis, kebeitza, kethis, kethat. All of those. All the halacha Moshe Misinai that we have. Maybe nisach hamayim, according to that opinion. So that is number two. You wouldn't have figured it out. Number three, says the Rambam, all the halachas learned out from the Yud Gimel Midos. That's Zera Shava, Hekish, Kavachomer, Reba Umiye, Dover Shaya Bechlau, Pasuk HaShlishi V'Yachriya B'Neim. All of the tools that we have. So our daf is all about category 3. Gzeira Shavis and Limudim, that is all category 3 of Torah Sheval Peh. That is the largest category out of all the 5 categories. The last 2 categories are Takanos and Gzeiros. Even though they didn't happen yet, some of them happened already. We have some takanas from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Some takanas that Moshe Rabbeinu, they're reading the Torah every 3 days. That was the takana of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? But even the later takanas, we know Moshe Rabbeinu was showed every takana and every gzera that was ever going to take place. So even though they're drabanan, but they're still part of Torah Sheval Peh. That could be why, just thinking about it now, why the Rambam Shita is, assuming this is all Torah Sheval Peh, that if one even violates an Issa drabanan, as we know, you violate an Issa daraisa. Of Lo Sasur, do not turn away from the rabbis, because it's all in the category of Torah Sheval Peh, and it's all a package that came from Moshe Rabbeinu. So that is all the five categories. And once heard, the neighbor Rav Shechter quoted that maybe this Gemara, these 5 categories are connected to the Gemara in Daf Samach, where the Gemara in Gittin has a machlokas whether most of Torah is Torah Sheval Peh or most of Torah is Torah Shebichsav. It's a machloka mesechas gittin. How could you have an opinion that says most of it is Torah Shebichsav? It's crazy. There's only one book of Torah Shebichsav. All the svarim are Torah Shebichsav. What do you mean most? There's a daya there that says Ruba is Bichsav. So the answer is, the question is, how do you define category 3? Is category 3 Bichsav or Baal Peh? Because it's learned out from drushes. But that's what's unclear. If your old category 3 is Bichsav, so then you could say most of it is Bichsav. Everything based on drushes chazal is Bichsav. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara on the 4th wide line now. Ve'ein li ela b'sheretz. This is only that I know to include a hair from the tail of a cow and a horse. Only for Tumas Sheretz. But Tumas Beis B'Nayin V'dinu. We compare it. Timei B'Beis V'Timei B'Sheretz. Makr Timei B'Sheretz. Asa Dabar Abba Mizanav Azoz Mizanav Apara Kemaisi Izim. Just like by Tumas Sheretz, I compared goat's hair and cow hair and horse hair. Avsha Timei B'Beis. Asa Dabar Abba Mizanav Azoz Sus. O Mizanav Apara Kemaisi Izim. I compare them. So Gemara says, Hain, really? How can you compare them? If here, baby, Tumas Erev, Shehu Meruba, Narbe, Betumas Shiva, Shimuetes, Tumas Erev, meaning items that make you tummy for a day, like Tumas Sheretz, that's much more common. So maybe we'd say there are more things included in that Tumah than in Tumas Mace. It's amazing. It's the opposite direction than we usually have. We usually say Tumas Mace is more stringent. So we'd put more things in that category. But the Gemara is saying you can say a different svara, the opposite svara. Tumas Sheretz is a more common svara. Not specifically Tumas Sheretz, but the category of items that make you tummy for a day. All the Avos HaTumah, besides Tumay Mace. All the Avos HaTumah basically make you tummy, come out all, make you tummy for a day. Not a week. So maybe it's only included in that. So Tamalomar Begadvar Begadvar Xerishava. It's a Xerishava, never Begadvar Besheretz, but never Begadvar Bemes. Ma Begadvar Hamar Besheretz. Usar Dabar Havam Izanava Zos Bizanava Para Kemaisa Izim. A Begadvar Hamar Bemes. Also, davar habam mizan avazus mizan avapara kemaisa izim. So we have xera shava that compares tumas sheretz and tumas meis. Good. And the Gemara adds u mufna. Mufna means it's an open xera shava. There are three types of xera shavas. The strongest type of xera shava is what's called mufna mishnat stadim, as we'll have in a minute, where both words in both contexts are open and extra. Mufna mitzad echad means only one of the sides is extra, and non-mufna at all is the weakest form of gzeira shava, and that's why the words aren't extra at all. We're comparing the words, but they're not extra at all. So Rashi says the one here is mufna, as we'll see for both sides. Very important lashon in Rashi here. Rashi in Dibur Maschil Mufna says, Umei acher shem mufnin lomo gzeira shava. Since both words are open, havi le keman dekasiv drasha bikra behedya. It's as if it's written explicitly in the Torah, Ve'ein Mishivin Aleha. You can't ask any kashas on that. That's an important lashon of Rashi. Right? Xer Shava Mufna. It's as if it says it explicitly in the Torah. That's why you can't ask any kashas on it, because the Torah says it. That's a very important lashon. There's a Rashi elsewhere, I think Masechah Sanhedrin, that says Hekish has that status also. So it could be Xer Shava Mufna and Hekish are the strongest limudim. So Mufna. Do you love Mufna? Because if it wouldn't be Mufna, you'd be able to ask the following question. Ikala Mifrach. Mala Sheretz Shekin Matame Bekadasha. A Sheretz is Matame even the size of a lentil seed. A lentil seed of a Sheretz. That is already Matame. For a mace, you need a Kazayas, which is bigger. So that's why you see a Chumra by Tuma Sheretz. So that's why if it wouldn't have been Mufna, so then we would be able to knock out the Xerah Shava. So Gemara says, La'ai, really, you're right, it is Mufne. Let's talk about it. Michdi, Sheretz, because Sheretz is Kishla Shechva Zera. Sheretz is already compared to Shechva Zera. Dechsiv, they're together in Vayikra. V'ish asher teitzim imenu Shechva Zera. V'samech le'ish asher yiga b'kol Sheretz. Shechva Zera and Sheretz are put together. V'ksiv be'be Shechva Zera. V'chol beged v'chol or asher yi alav Shechva Zera. It already talks about the Tumah there. Beged v'ar d'kazer v'achmanu b'sheretz l'amali. So what do you need the phrase by Sheretz to if it's compared to Shechva Zera? It must be that it's open. It's open to use for Xer Shava to mace. So Gemara says, V'yakati mufne b'tzad echadu. So, but this is only, you've only proven one side is mufne, is open. Hani chlamanda amar. So this is good enough according to the opinion that says, mufne mitzad echad l'meidin v'emishivin, that even if it's only extra on one side, it's strong enough that you can't ask any questions on. El lamanda amar l'meidin v'emishivin ma'ika l'meimar. But according to the opinion that says, you would be able to knock it out if it's only open on one side. So what would you say? So the Gemara says, t'meis nami afnuye mufne. No, here it's open on both sides. Even by mace. Why? Same exact idea. Michdi. Mace ish kishl shech vazera. Dichsiva hanogea b'chol tami nefesh. O ish asher teitzim ena shech vazera. Mace is also compared to shech vazera. Dichsiva shech vazera b'chol beged v'chol or. So beged v'ar d'chas v'achmana b'mace lamali. So why do you have it by mace? Rami nolaf nu yei. So it must be also to be open. So mace and sheretz are both extra. That's how you could have a xera shava between them to compare them for hilchos tuma v'tara. Good. Adkan, everyone can take a deep breath. Learning out all of the begadim and these halachas of tuma of different ornaments and small begadim. In general, whenever tuma and tara comes up, or the achronim discuss, what's the reality? Right, they're both spiritual realities. But is the reality tuma unless there's tara there? Or is the reality tara unless there's tuma there? It's important halakhically and ashkafically. Meaning, let's say tuma's mace. Is the natural state of affairs tara, meaning life? And then when a person dies, chas v'shalom, tuma sets in? But it's really the natural state is tara? Or do we say tuma is the natural state? Hashem breathes life into a person, and that overtakes it in his metaher, the situation. But once the tara leaves, the natural state is tuma. Right? Also relates to right. What one might be a positive spiritual state. One might just be a lack of a state. Maybe tara is just the absence of tuma. Right? It's kind of like the or in choshech. Is darkness the absence of light, or is it a bria by itself? So he asks the same thing by tuma. Is tuma the absence of tara, or is it something caused? right? Does mace cause tumah, or is it just that chayim has life in it, and the absence of life brings tumas? All of these are very interesting halachic and hashkafic questions, but they could have important halachic issues. Is there something called a chezkas tumah or a chezkas tara? Could have important ramifications. Okay. Vanakrev es karban. What's we're talking about? Midyan. So we quote a couple of psukim about Midyan. Vanakrev es karban Hashem ish asher matza kli zav. What do they say? The anshei tzava, people from the army that got back after they beat Midyan. So they give a karban. Ish asher matza kli zav etzadav etzamid. They didn't give an animal, but they gave, at least here, they gave jewelry. They gave it all to walk up to the base of to the Mishkan. Etzadav etzamid tavaz agiv chumaz. These are all different types of jewelry that they took away from the Midyanim, the spoils. Amar Abelazar, what were these? Agil? What's an agil? Zetfus shel dadin. Right, it was a jewelry that was a picture of an unclothed woman. Kumaz, zutfus. So what is the base of Midyanim going to do with that? Right, so they're gonna flatten it out and use the gold. Kumaz zetfus shel beis harechem. Kumaz is in the shape of a womb, the shape of a womb of a woman. Amar Rav Yosef, ihachi. If that's true, hainu de matargaminon. That's exactly what the targum is on it. Machoch. Kumaz is machoch. What does machoch mean? Laughter. Davar hamevi lidei gichoch. Something that leads to laughter and levity. Right, these types of jewelry were frivolous items that were used by the Midyanim. Amalei Rabba migufi dekra shma mina. You don't need the targum. Just look at the word kumaz kan makom zima. Kumaz might be a contraction of kan makom zima. So it's interesting that many times in Shas we find Rav Yosef quoting the targum. Hainu de matargamina Rav Yosef. Is there anything specific about that we should know about that? So Tosus of Bava Kamma makes this Sahara. Tosus says that Rav Yosef, we know, is blind. So Tosus says in Bava Kamma Dav Gimel, don't think that Rav Yosef is always quoting the Targum because of the principle of Dvarim Shebichsav Yetarei Shalom and Alpeh. And because Rav Yosef was blind and he couldn't read it, so that's why he focused on the Targum. He didn't quote he was an expert in Targum. No, that wasn't the reason. The reason is because he was a Baki in Targum, period. It wasn't because he was blind and therefore he only was allowed to study the Targum. So that's an important Ha'ara Tosa says, even though Rav Yosef all over the place. Not going to Rav Yosef, if you show you Baki B'Targum, Shish Kam and Yoni Targum. Veloka de Pirish Ba'alma. It's not like the Velt says, Lafisha Yasagi Nohar, Vithram Shibach Savi Tere Shalom and Alpeh. Right, so that's an important Ha'ara in Tosfos in Bava Kamma Daf Gimel. But here too, you have it again, Rav Yosef and the Targum. Vaiter, Vayiksov, Moshe Apakudi Achayel. Moshe got angry at the people. that people that came back from the army. Amr of Nachman, Amr Abba Ravua, Amr Len Moshe Yisrael. What was he angry about? Why are they bringing this carbon? Shama chazartem lekil kolchem harishon? Did you do an Aveira out there on the battlefield, and that's why you're bringing this, you feel bad, that's why you're bringing all these donations? Did you do something wrong? Rashi says, like you happened at Shittim, right, you were mezane with the Benos Moav. Did you do that to Midyan too? Amrulo, Bonifka, Mimenu Ish. No, not one person died, which shows we were righteous. We didn't do anything wrong. So Amrulahen, Mkin, Kapar Lama. So Moshe says, okay, then why are you bringing all this? So why are you giving this all to the Mikdash? Amrulo, Imide Aveira Yatsanu, Mide Hirher Lo Yatsanu. We didn't do anything, but, you know, what did the Minyanim do? They sent out these scantily clad, gorgeous women to the battlefield in order to seduce the Jewish men. That's what they did. So they said, we overcame our Yetzer. But, you know, there were some Hirhurim that we had. So that's why we want to make sure to cover ourselves with those Hirhurim. Miyad v'nakrev is Karban Hashem. That's why they brought the Karban. Tana, let's just continue for a minute. Tever Bishmol, Tana Ver Bishmol, Mipnei Ma Hutzrachu Yisrael Shabosu Adar Kapara. Why did they need Kapara? Mipnei Shezanu Eineyem in Ha'erva. Their eyes were satiated from the Erva. Meaning there was Hirurim. That also was Aser. Right? Not just actual znus. Finishing up, Amar of Sheshes, Mipnei Ma Mana Hakasef Tachshitin Shebachusim Tachshitin Shebifnim. Why did the Torah list here altogether, right? This whole list of kumas, ugal, all the jewelry is listed. The outerwear and the private wear are all listed together. Lo malacha, kolam istakel betz maktana shel isha, kilum istakel makam aterfa. To teach me, if one looks at a woman's finger in a way that is inappropriate, So it's just like looking at any part of her body, even a private part. Meaning, if there's an erva, so that a man is not allowed to look at a woman, even if it's not the makom erva, right? Any place on the woman's body looked at to be nehene mibsaro, so that is inappropriate for a someone who's not allowed to do it. Oh, just one little ha'ara back on Amud Aleph. It counts as Amud Beis because I'm already there. The bottom of Amud Aleph, midei hirhur lo yatsanu. Right? What did it say? Oh, we had some hirhurim. Ask Tosfos. So why is that aser? Yifas Tohar! Yifas Tohar is a parsha of the Torah. So of course there are hirhurim. The Torah doesn't mind about those isurim. So the Tosa says, v'yeshlomar, no, there's still an iser because you can only have one, yifas Tohar. What if they thought about two women? V'chashakta bov lo b'chaverta. Two women. Other Rishonim say no. We had a shiur on this years ago. We have to have another shiur on it, but I don't have time right now. Maybe the next Afbiyin shiur will be on it. On the Sugi Bifas Toar. Major Machlokas Rishonim. Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. Bia Rishona. Where is Bia Rishona allowed? Is Bia Rishona only allowed after you go through the process, you bring her back home? Or even on the battlefield? In private, obviously. Right? So that's a Machlokas. So it could be somebody violated the Halachas of Yifas Toar also. Not just stam, everything is mutter. There are limits. Right, the language of the Chachmei Sfarad, if you remember the whole part of Yifas Toar, is a Geirus Bal Karcha. It's an amazing concept. A forced conversion. Right, so again, not for now, but that's an important Tosfos on the bottom of Amud Aleph. Okay. It's not my fault Amud Aleph was very large today. Says the Mishnah, Yotza Isha Bechutei Seir. A woman could go out with hair tied into her own hair on Shabbos. Bein mishala, bein mishal chaverta. Whether her own hair tied in or her friend's hair. Why? Because we assume that that'll be tied around loose. Water will be able to get in. It won't be a chatzitza. So even if she has to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, she won't untie it and there'll be a chash of carrying it. No. She'll keep it in her hair. Bein mishal behema, even animal hair. We'll get back to that. Ubetotafos, ubesarbitim, bizlanche tfurin, and also these types of ribbons and ornaments that when they are tied onto her head covering, again, we don't think she's going to remove it. Bikavul, a little type of hat. Ubepeanachis, or a wig. Lachatzer. To the chatzer, she could go out because we don't assume that she's going to remove them. Bimoch sheba azna, with a wad in her ear. Let's say she has some type of an ear infection, let's say. So she has to keep a wad all the way stuck in her ear. So she is allowed to do that. B'mokshe b'azna, u'b'mokshe b'sandala, or a little wad in the bottom of her shoe to make it more comfortable. U'b'mokshe skinalinidasa, or a wad that she puts in to make sure that she doesn't get her clothes dirty when she is in Nida. All of these, there's no chash that she's going to take out, and therefore it is mutter. Bepilpel ubegargir melach v'chol davar shenita l'toch bia, a little piece of pepper or salt, something that she suffers from bad breath, and she puts it into her mouth. We also assume that she's not going to take it out once she puts it in. Ubevach lo titin l'chadchila b'shabbos, as long as she doesn't put it in actually on Shabbos. Why? Tosfos quote, it's Maris Ayin. People might think that you're dafka putting it into your mouth as a trick in order to go and carry it on Shabbos. V'im nafalo tafsir. And the same thing is if it falls out on Shabbos, you cannot put it back in. Shein toteves, shein shel zahav. If somebody has a false tooth, a golden tooth, Rebbe Matir, Rebbe says, there's no issue that you're going to, take that out of your mouth on Shabbos. It was mutav, chum amosrim. Chum say it's aser because it's different than your other teeth, people might laugh at you, and therefore you might take it off. Again, our type of artificial teeth is not shayach, right? They're in. You're not taking out your fillings. You're not taking out your any type of work that was done by the dentist. Therefore, it's not shayach to talk about. Okay, there's a tremendous amount that we could talk about in this on this mishnah. Let's just do a little more, then we'll talk more about it tomorrow. Tomorrow is not as long of a daf, and hopefully, Be'ez Hashem will have more time. Vitzricha. Let's continue. Okay, we have to talk about wigs. We have to talk about of chatzitza as well in the ear. So let's just do a little more first. Vitzricha d'yesh. Now, why do you have to have all three cases that a woman is allowed to go out with hair on her own hair? Her hair, her friend's hair, animal hair. Vitzricha d'yesh. If you only had her hair, mishum d'lo mas. Maybe there we're not worried that she's going to take it off because it's her own hair. It's not disgusting in her eyes. Avol chaverta d'mais emalo. But if it's her friend's hair, then as people might think, what are you wearing your friend's hair for? So that's why you have to say second case is also mutter. And if it's her friend's hair, at least it's the same type. It's also a person's hair. La bar minahu. Ema lo. Sricha. So you might say animal hair is not allowed. Sricha it is. Tana period. Ubilvada limit. Shlotate say yalda bishal zakena. Vizakena bishal yalda. A young or old woman cannot go out with opposite hairs. Bishlama zakena bishal yalda. I understand why the Braisa had to tell me that an older woman is not allowed to go out with a younger woman's hair because shevachula, that is something beautiful and she's going to want to show it. So that's why we understand why she's not allowed to go out with it. Because that's something that's beautiful. Aval yalda b'shel zakena amai genayula. But yalda b'shel zakena, you have to tell me that she's going to... I'm sorry, the opposite. If you have the zakena b'shel yalda, I understand why the Bryce has to tell me the chiddush, because you would think she's not going to take it off because it looks good. So that's why the Bryce has to tell me that it's usser. But in the other direction, yalda b'shel zakena, what's the chiddush? Of course you have to be worried that she might take it off because it's genayula. Right, she's a young woman and she's wearing a white hair. So I, tana zakena b'shel yalda, tana nam yalda b'shel zakena. You're right, it's no chiddush. It's not a chiddush, it just says it to be parallel. Good. Bekavol ubepei anachris lachatzer amarav. So it's interesting. In all these items in our perek, it all says aser, and by these two, it says to a chatzer specifically. It says mutter or aser, and only here is there a limit. Amarav kosha asur chachavim latzeis bol rishis arabim asur latzeis bol lachatzer. All the items in our perek that you can't go out to the street with, you can't even go out to the chatzer with. Says right, the Ran says it's always one big zera. Why? Because you're worried. If you go out to the chatzir with it, you might go out to the street with it. Chutz mikavol upei anachris. Except for these two, you're allowed to go out to the chatzir. Rabbi Anani bar Sason mishpeid Rabbi Shmuel amar akol kavol. No! Everything is mutter to a chatzir. Everything is mutter to a, like a kavol. So tzadav, a kavol upei anachris, the chatzir. One second. Our Mishnah only says it aloud by kavol. These two. So bishlam ala Rav Nicha, el Rabbi Anani bar Sason kasha. How could Rabbi Anani argue on our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says specifically only these two. So Rabbi Anani bar Sasa Mishmei Deman Kamarle. Who is he quoting that in the name of? Mishmei de Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. He was quoting a Tana. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi Tana Hu Palig. No problem. He is his own Tana, and he is allowed to argue on the Brisa, on the Mishnah. No problem. So for Rav Maishnahani. So why are these different? Well, we had this back in Rashi in the couple of blad ago. Why are these two allowed in a chatzer and everything else is totally aser? They're not muksa. You just can't go out in a chatzer. So amar ula kadesh lo tiskana al baila, so that she doesn't become right disgusting in the eyes of her husband. Kidatanya, as the brisa says, v'hadava benidasa zekena marishonim amru shlotichol, that the earlier generation said that a woman shouldn't put on eye makeup, lo tifkos or rouge, lo tiskashi b'bigetzavonim, to wear all these types of colorful begadim. She just shouldn't do that on Shabbos. Terrible, right? I'm sorry, this is talking about Bishas Nida, right? Not on Shabbos. Talking about Bishas Nida, she shouldn't make herself look so beautiful. And the Rabbi Akiva says, but what do you mean? There's still a relationship, Bishas Nida. So it's going to be terrible. So it just means she remains in her state of nida until she goes to the mikvah. But it doesn't require her to do anything or not to do anything. Ask this, somebody achronim. What, because of this, he's going to divorce his wife because she doesn't look so nice. So the Mefarshim explained, no, this could be a makom patish. If somebody's already on the edge, chas v'shalom, so then this could be the makom hapatish. Obviously, this isn't just the pure reason to do it, but this could be the makom hapatish. What happened in the Doris of Rishonim? The earlier generations weren't worried about this. So Sir Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, so maybe they were on a different mitzias. Right? Remember we had the Gemara earlier that a man was married to a lame woman. He didn't even realize it until years later. Right? So maybe they didn't look at the husbands and wives didn't look at each other as much in certain generations. But already Rabbi Akiva's generation, they were already more focused on the relationship, and therefore he was worried about Shlo Tiskana al Baila. It's Rabbi Akiva himself says this, right? Rabbi Akiva was away from his wife for 24 years learning, but he came back. We have discussions and stories about the relationship between Rabbi Akiva and his wife. Okay, let's have tomorrow, Bishop, we will start with Shetels, the Shulta Gibarim right here, and then we have to talk about is a woman allowed to go to the mikvah with a cotton swab in her ear. Right, if she has an infection in her ear, is that a chatzitza? We'll talk about a big chiddush of Rav Moshe, two types of chatzitza, and Be'ez Hashem, then we will continue with our perek of Bamei Isha. So Be'ez Hashem, we'll start with that hopefully tomorrow.